All right. Well, let's start our last section. We've talked about developing a habit for God's word and for prayer and for fellowship. And now we're going to talk about a habit for giving your resources. And that's part of the discipleship process. It kind of goes back to what I talked about this morning while I was praying, is that stewardship and lordship go together. And that's just the nature of it. Let me give you some reasons to give. And we talked about giving when you guys went through 101. And we talked about that pretty extensively. And only in that context, we talked about how the church here uses money and how decisions are made and why we set it up the way we set it up for who makes the decisions and all those kinds of things. We went through all of that. I want to look at this more from the viewpoint of how this affects your spiritual life and those kinds of things. Number one, you should give because it makes us like God. Giving makes us like God, right? For God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God is a giving God. And he even gives to people that don't deserve it. Number two, giving draws us closer to God. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When you give to God, it draws you closer to God because that's where your heart is. You can tell a lot about where people are spiritually by looking at their calendar, how they spend their time, and their checkbook, how they spend money, and by what they say, because out of their heart, their mouth speaks. Number three, giving is the antidote to materialism. We live in a society that's just rampant with greed, as we've seen lately on Wall Street and the problems there. And we're a materialistic society that's pretty shallow. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited, or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Number four, giving is an investment in eternity. 1 Timothy 6:18 to 19 says, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves a treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed.
What was that?
1 Timothy 6, 18 and 19. So, what you give away is the only thing that's probably going to follow you to heaven in terms of money. Number five, giving strengthens our faith. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 9 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil, and it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So the Bible ties in that whole concept of giving. It ties it into following the Lord, trusting the Lord, fearing the Lord, turning from evil. Ties it all together. It ties it in even to healing of the body. Huh? How much physical healing maybe does not happen because people are not obedient to God in the area of how they handle their money? Think about it. God could actually chasten people for being disobedient with money, and maybe one of the ways he chastens them is with sickness. Number six, giving results in blessing. Proverbs 22:9 says, he who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. So God has the ability to cause you to be blessed. And so this is how, you know, giving begins to affect your life spiritually as a disciple. And I don't think I have ever preached at least at South Creek in the 6 years that we've been together here. I don't believe I've ever preached a series exclusively on money or finances or giving. I know that one time we were doing a series on something and I addressed money as it relates to marriage. I don't even remember what it was now. But I don't remember what the series was. And I remember one time I did a series on God's will, and I mentioned giving in a sermon because of scripture related to the fact that it was God's will for you to give and stuff. And then I remember a third time whenever I was doing a series on the glory of God, and we talked about how that giving brings glory to God, and that was part of one sermon. I don't think I've ever just preached a whole series exclusively on giving, at least here at South Creek. And someday I probably will, you know, but it's not something I don't want to be one of those people that talks about money all the time, because I think there's a lot of preachers, that's all they do. And I think their motives are usually wrong when they do, and that bothers me. But I do know that the Bible does say more about giving and money and the use of material things way more than it does faith or heaven or hell even. I think praying and faith are both mentioned around 500 times in the Bible, but money and finances are mentioned 2,000 times in the Bible. And in fact, if you think about a lot of the parables Jesus told, were parables that use money or material things to illustrate. And so the Bible reveals a lot about where we're at spiritually, about how we handle money. And so when we give, it makes us like God. It draws us closer to God. It helps us fight materialism in our life. It helps us invest in eternity. It strengthens our faith, because giving is really a faith issue. We give to God, and then we trust Him to take what's left over and to meet the needs that we have. And then it results in blessing. Blessing to us, blessing to others. In the Bible, giving is always commanded and commended by God, but it demonstrates that God, because it demonstrates that God's number one in your life, that He's your top priority. Also, giving is a way of showing our love for God, and it actually gives God a chance to prove He exists when He responds to our giving by blessing us in some way. So we actually see God get involved in our lives and do things that only He could meet the need for. And I've got numerous stories I could give you on some of this stuff, but we should always give to the place of worship where we are receiving our spiritual blessing. And our giving should be regular and systematic, and we should always give willingly, cheerfully, sacrificially, and expectantly. So sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm really blessed here at South Creek, but where else should I give? Well, that's between you and the Lord, but I really believe if this is the place of spiritual blessing for you, then this is where God wants you to do your primary giving. That, to me, just makes sense. You know, it bothers me when I know someone's a church member here, as far as I know, it doesn't apply to anybody in this room. But when someone's a church member here, that they show indifference to being a member here by lack of attendance, lack of giving, lack of praying, lack of supporting it. And that's why I've started recently on the communion service asking the question, do you take this church for granted? There are not very many churches like South Creek in the world, let alone in Springfield. So don't take it for granted. You know, it's a special place. Treat it like a special place. Don't be haphazard in your commitment and those kinds of things. Well, that's all I have. What kind of questions do you have on any of this, on giving or on fellowship or on prayer or on the Bible? Is there anything you want to ask, any questions about that we've studied the last two weeks? Anything at all?
Well, I think this would kind of go back to that one about what you were saying, like, I'm thinking about something, meditating on something, and like, this could be